Well, I have a chapter out of the Word of God, and that should take care of it, shouldn't it? I was thinking about this and reading it, and if you will, with your Bible, I trust everybody has the Word of God with them. This is the book, and turn to 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. We'll be using some verses out of the first chapter, I suppose, before we're done here. But this is an interesting thing. It's about the resurrection. And there's a lot of words in here about the resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, if Jesus didn't rise, there isn't a resurrection, and it sounds like it's going out of the way to make the point over and over, but that's what we need sometimes. Repetition is what we need. So we'll begin in verse 1 of this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, of course, that means you got to read the first 14 chapters. It's a continuation. We'll see that in a minute. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Notice, according to the Scriptures, and verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, what? According to the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul is the writer here of this book, and he was concerned about the Scriptures. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about the Old Testament. The New Testament was being written at this time, and he didn't have any New Testament. When he talks about the Scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament. And here it is, among the other things that are taught in the Old Testament, is the matter of the resurrection. Now notice verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. And we'll go into that a little bit in a minute. But notice here that in the very second verse, he says, talking about being saved, he's addressing brethren. That means he's writing to saints, the people that are saved. Unless ye have believed in vain. There's always that, what's the word, caveat? That is there. Whether it's a small congregation or whether it's a big congregation, there's always the possibility that somebody thinks they've been saved and they're not, or are just in the congregation. And he said, unless ye have believed in vain. What is it to believe in vain? Well, everybody else is believing it. Everybody else is doing it, and so forth. But unless you have believed in vain. Turn back to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians here. Chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians. And we'll see who he's writing to, who he's calling brethren and so forth here. And he says his name is Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. You see, you got to be called for the job. He was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and so whatever that name is, our brother. Look at who he's writing to. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So he's got a particular church, a particular group of people that he is writing to at the church, and it says to them, And then he expands on it. Not just the people of the church, but to them that are sanctified, that means set apart, in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. The to be has been added by the translators that will work there. It would read just like, sanctified, set apart, in Christ Jesus, called saints. And that's what we're called, you see, saints. Think about that a minute. To be called saints. With all that in every place. Now you see, it expands it from the church at Corinth. Well, to all in every place. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Both theirs and ours. And he says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, he's writing to those of the church at Corinth in particular. That's where he's going to mail the paperwork. And however, you know, send the email, whatever he's going to do, however it's going to work out there. But it's written to you and me as being saints of the Lord and being in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of God, here in Melbourne, Florida. And the call to be unto the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And so he's expanded that out there. And he says, grace, always is by grace. All to grace, how great a debtor. Grace be to you and peace from the Father. And he goes on and says in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf. Now remember, this is expanded down to you and me today. And here's the Apostle Paul thanking God. He didn't know us. He didn't know there was going to be 2,000 years go by as far as that's concerned, much less know us. But he thanks God, his God, on my behalf. He's praying for me, you see, and you that are saved, for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything, Pastor Bourne's been emphasizing those kinds of words, all and so forth, in everything, in all utterance, and in all knowledge. Now, some of us may have more knowledge of the Word of God than others have, but all that there can be, we won't ever get it all. And so it's in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what I wanted to get to. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be this resurrection. We'll read just a little bit further here in verse 8. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless. There again, that ye may be has been added. It gives more weight to the thing. No problem with that at all. But confirm unto the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. God is faithful, verse 9, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's not too terribly many days from his trip to Damascus, where he got saved on the lead, where he was out to arrest the Christians and to bring them to trial and some of them be put to death and so forth. But he is faithful. God is faithful. The fellowship of Jesus Christ. Now, he says in verse 10, I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is in the name? So much in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, the world takes it, uses it for cursings and all kinds of things. But the name of Christ, they don't recognize and realize when they curse and swear in his name that the name of Jesus Christ is out there. And they're giving that word as a curse word to their friends, but the word is out there, the friends are getting it, that you all speak the same thing. And that there should be no divisions among you, but ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So this is his introduction to there, and he shows clearly that he was writing to the church at Corinth, a church that he had established, as a matter of fact, and he writes to them. The follow-up written forward there, and we have most of the New Testament is letters to the churches, many of them that were established by the Apostle Paul. And no divisions among you. We need to work those situations all out. Now back over to chapter 15 again in 1 Corinthians. You see that there be no, unless you believed in vain, and that there be no divisions among them. According to the scriptures, verse 3, he was buried, verse 4. This is in 1 Corinthians again, 15, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, we've come through a series fairly recently here, named after a false god, Esther. Easter, we call it Easter, but you know, the bunny rabbits and the colored Easter eggs and all of that. But think about it. What is it that we tend to, not necessarily you and me, but much of the world tends to make out of Easter? They have him dying and going into the grave at sundown and coming up before sunlight on Sunday morning. 3 days. 3 days? Can you get 3 days out of that? I can't. It's about a day. It's really about one night and two days and one day in the morning, first thing in the morning there. So it doesn't work out. And Jesus himself, in another spot, made it very clear that it was to be 3 days and three nights, 72 hours, according to the scriptures. And we have witnesses of this now in verse 5 here in 1 Corinthians. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, our court system works on the basis of two or three witnesses. If you have a problem and you want to take somebody to court for whatever's all involved, and you have yourself and one witness, that won't cover it. They won't even consider it. You got to have two. It's a he said, she said thing, and it doesn't work. You got to have the three witnesses. And here we have over 500. What would the court system do today if you brought 500 in to be witnesses? I think the case would be made in a hurry. Over 500 brethren at once there in verse 6. And some of them remain unto the present, most of them, and some are fallen asleep. Now, there's the normal cycle that goes on. There's a baby born every day, and an old man dies every day, and it's just going round and around. And so, with 500 involved in here, for some time, I tried to figure out how much time is involved in here, and I wasn't able to find out anything about how much time might have been involved. But some of them had died, but most of them were still there being a witness. What a witness we have for that. And last of all, no, that verse 7. After that, he was seen of James. That's the brother of Jesus, the half-brother. Then of all the apostles, and then all of them saw. And then he says, last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. And he says, I am the least, verse 9, I am the least of the apostles. I am not meant to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God on the road to Damascus. You remember the story about that. And he persecuted the church there. But, you see, the story doesn't end there. Verse 10 starts with that magic word, but. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That's where I have to stand. That's where you have to stand. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, continuing in verse 10, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Oh, you see, it looks like he's thinking as he's writing the epistle here. That could be looked at as some pride. I labored more than the other guy. So he corrected, if there's any doubt in your mind, he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I had an opportunity to witness to a man today at the restaurant as I got a bite to eat coming into to church here, and we had quite a talk. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It was a kind of a strange situation. We were eating close together in the, you know, how the tables and chairs are there. He had what looked like a Bible cover, much like what I use here. I asked him if that was a Bible cover. He said, well, no, it's not a Bible cover. He's got some other stuff in there. But he says, I am a man of faith, something to that effect. I already said it. And so we had a nice long talk about the situation. So yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. He believed. The preaching of the word of God, and some believe. Not all, but some believe. We at Grace Baptist Church are the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, getting to the topic. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There were the Pharisees, you know, and there were the Sadducees. And the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were called sad, you see. A little humor there, I suppose. But Paul is very serious about what he's talking about here. How can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, what's the logical conclusion? Then is Christ not risen? We know the tomb is empty. See? But if there is no resurrection, then somebody must have got his remains out and buried them someplace else or hidden them, whatever it might be. He says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. He's saying, we've been preaching his resurrection. And yet we are found, if that be the case, if there's no resurrection, then we are false witnesses of God. Think about that. Verse 15, yea, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Notice these words, but and if, and how they're used here. 4, verse 16, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised." Think about that. He's still in the grave. He's dead. Everybody's going to die sooner or later. And if the dead don't rise, then Christ is not risen. Verse 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." Let that sink in a minute. If Christ didn't come up out of the grave, if he didn't rise 3 days and three nights, if he didn't rise, then our faith is vain. Here at Grace Baptist Church, we preach the resurrection. As I get older, I get more ready for it. The resurrection. Is he going to come in the air in the rapture of the saints? Or am I going to get old and died and be resurrected? Oh, this body will go into the grave, but the soul and the spirit of Ron McTaggart is making a beeline for heaven. I'll tell you what. My sins are gone. All the songs that we sing in the book, so many of them, say, the sins have been washed away. My sins are gone. Praise God, and I'm on my way to heaven. Then, verse 18, "They also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." Now you see, that's getting down to our families before us. That's getting down to my wife. She died physically. See? Fallen asleep. That's what it's talking about. They have died in Christ. That's the secret word there. In Christ. And if there's no resurrection, then it's all in vain. The grave is going to come open one of these days. And the new body is coming forth. What a day that will be. I'm looking forward to that as I come closer to the end of my physical life here. If, now verse 19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ." And I do have it. In this life, I have it. He's not saying that that's not there. But if that's all we've got, you see, then we are of all men most miserable. If it's only in this life, the hope is most miserable. When it's all over, you see, there's heaven and there's hell. And I think sometimes when I talk to some people and they don't listen, they're not saved, they're depending upon their good works and so forth on that, what a shock that's going to be when their time of death comes and they wake up, so to speak, in hell. A place of torment. A place of fire. And if we've only got this hope in this life, we're as miserable as they are. Most miserable. Verse 20. There's that word. But, you see, he uses the contrast back and forth and back and forth. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Those that died in the Lord. And Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those that slept, or those that died in this life. And think of what the number of people that are involved in that, because that's from the beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and made man and so forth. For since, verse 21... For since by man came death. Notice how he has everything straight. The Spirit of God guiding him as he writes this letter there. By man came death. Who was it? Where did this all start? All the trees in the garden are good for eating. Eat all you want. but one. But one. And I've shared with you before, that gets my curiosity up. What's wrong with that one? Why can't I have that one? I don't care about all the rest of them. I want that one. And I think that's the nature of man to a great extent. So, since by man came death, Adam and Eve was deceived. Adam had his eyes wide open and chose death in the process. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about resurrection here. The resurrection of the dead. 4, verse 22, as in Adam all die. You see, that's what I just talked about. In Adam we died. We're all descendants of Adam after he had sinned. And the sin nature and all was carried forth there. It doesn't talk about Eve, it talks about Adam here. All die. Since by Adam all died, even so in, not by, but in Christ, shall all be made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you read, it's all about Jesus Christ, one way or another, one type of form or shape. It's all about Jesus Christ in there. And so through Jesus Christ shall all be made alive. Now, that's not talking about all men. We have the election of God and predestination and all those good doctrines that are involved in here. And we know that not all are going to be made alive in that sense of the word. But all that will be, all that are His, in all those that are in Christ. You see, it says right there in the verse. He's talking about those in Christ. And they shall all be made alive. But every man, verse 23, but every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ's at His coming. I've shared with you before, I stand out at night and look to the east and say, I'm ready, Lord, for You to come. The question is not for me, it's yours. Ask Him jokingly, check the calendar and make sure that it's just right. And I had an experience today that I fixed up once and for all. My calendar I have on the side of my refrigerator. There's a big blank spot to the side there. Everything I write on the calendar, whatever's going to happen, what I'm going to do, what the other people are going to do. I get some mail about something going to happen, and I write it on the calendar. And the calendar, it's on a little hook arrangement that I had glued to the side of the refrigerator. And it has come off before, and I've had to re-glue it. Today I re-glued it. And I turned around and went and done something and came back in, and there was the hook and everything laying back down on the counter. And I said, I'm going to fix you. So I went and got my drill. And I got a screw. And I punched a hole, starter hole in the side of the refrigerator. I don't know what it's going to do to the refrigerator, and at this point I don't care. I've had it a number of years. It doesn't owe me anything anyway. And I put that thing up with a self-tapping screw. I had a nice white head on it. It looks real good on there. And I said, it's not coming down now. It's not coming down now. The resurrection is there, and I can put all these things. The first fruits, I don't know how I got off on that. Anyway, look at verse 24. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. We are part of that kingdom of God. We've got all kinds of denominations and differences and so forth that's involved, but the kingdom of God, whatever error that we might have in our theology and all, the kingdom of God, even the Father, which He shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. God's going to put down all that rule and authority, the kingdom of God, when that comes. For he must reign, verse 25, he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And there are enemies out there. Of course, the devil is the prince and the power of the air. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to reign until all enemies are under his feet. We win. I read the last chapter. We win. I like that. Look at verse 26, and we'll close with this. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We got the death, we got people dying, we got the resurrection, we have the ascension coming, and all that's involved in this thing. But the last enemy to be put down is death. I like that. I like that. We win, we win, we win. For he has put all things under his feet. Let's see. That's the basic thing that I wanted to get here. You notice how many times that Paul talking about, but if there be no resurrection, but there is resurrection, and I praise God for all of that. That's my message for today.